Thank you, Lord. Well, I invite you to stand and worship with us today and bring glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Before the world was made, before you spoke it to be, you were the King of Kings. Yeah, you were. And now you're reigning still, enthroned above all things. Angels and saints cry out, we join them as we sing. Glory to God, glory to God. Glory to God forever. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God forever. Let's sing that first verse one more time. Before the world was made, you... Before the world was made, before you spoke it to be, you were the King of Kings. Yeah, you were. And now you're reigning still, enthroned above all things. Angels and saints cry out, we join them as we sing. Glory to God, glory to God. Glory to God forever. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God forever. Creator God, you gave me breath so I could praise your great and matchless name all my days. So let my whole life be a blazing offering, a life that shouts and sings the greatness of our King. Glory to God, glory to God. Glory to God forever. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God forever. Take my life and let it be all for you and for your glory. Take my life and let it be yours. Take my life and let it be all for you and for your glory. Take my life and let it be yours. We sing glory to God, glory to God, glory to God forever. Glory to God, glory to God. Glory to God for take my life and let it be. Take my life and let it be all for you and for your glory. Take my life and let it be yours. Take my life and let it be all for you and for your glory. Take my life and let it be yours. We sing glory to God, glory to God, glory to God forever. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God forever. Glory to God, glory to God. Glory to God forever. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God forever. Oh, we give you glory, Lord Jesus. Praise your name. Oh, we give you glory and honor, Lord. Glory, glory to your name. Praise your name. Glory, glory to your name, Father. Thank you, Lord. Jesus, let your kingdom come here. Let your will be done here in us. Jesus, there is no one greater. You alone are Savior. Show the world your love. King of heaven, come down. King of heaven, come now. Let your glory reign, shining like the day. King of heaven, come. King of heaven, rise up. Who can stand against us? You are strong to save in your mighty name. King of heaven, come. We are children of your mercy, rescued for your glory. We cry, Jesus, turn our hearts toward you, that every eye would see you lifted high. King of heaven, come down. King of heaven, come now. Let your glory reign, shining like the day. King of heaven, come. King of heaven, rise up. Who can stand against us? You are strong to save in your mighty name. King of heaven, come. 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 King of heaven, come down. King of heaven, come now. Let your glory shining like the day. King of heaven, come. King of heaven, rise up. Who can stand against us? You are strong to save in your mighty name. King of heaven, King of heaven, come. 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 King of heaven, come down. King of heaven, come now. Let your glory reign, shining like the day. King of heaven, come. King of heaven, rise up. who can stand against us? You are strong, you're safe, in your mighty name, King of heaven, come. King of heaven, come down. King of heaven, come now. Let your glory reign, shining like the day. King of heaven, come. King of heaven, rise up. Who can stand against us? You are strong to save in your mighty name. King of heaven, come. Oh, Jesus, come, King of heaven, come, Lord God. Oh, Rabababasitai. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Oh, Rabaharantarabai. Praise your name. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Sarabababaki satarai. Oh, we praise your name, Lord.
I think somebody might have something.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. We'll be talking a little bit more about this in the message to come, but sometimes we take a moment and we pause here, because this is a time where sometimes the Holy Spirit speaks. And if the Lord speaks something to your heart, don't be afraid to share it with the body. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Blessed are those who run to Him, who's placed their hope and confidence in Jesus. He won't forsake them. Blessed are those who seek His face, bend their knee and put their gaze on Jesus. They won't be shaken. Come on and praise the Lord with me. Sing if you love His name. Come on and lift your voice with me. He's worthy of all our praise. Blessed are those who walk with Him, whose hearts set on pilgrimage with Jesus. They'll see His glory. Blessed are those who die to live, whose joy it is to give it all to Jesus, and for Him only. Oh Jesus, all for Your glory. Come on and praise the Lord with me. Sing if you love His name. Come on and lift your voice with me. He's worthy of all our praise. Come on and bring your offering. Sing if you grace. Come on and lift up your holy hands. He's worthy of all our praise. Bless God in the sanctuary. Bless God in the fields of plenty. Bless God in the darkest valley. Every chance I get, I bless your name. Bless God when my hands are empty. Bless God with a praise that costs me. Bless God when nobody's watching. Every chance I get, I bless your name. Bless God when the weapon's forming. Bless God when the walls are falling. Bless God, cause he goes before me. Every chance I get, I bless your name. Bless God, for he holds the victory. Bless God, for he's always with me. Bless God, for he's always worthy. Every chance I get, I bless your name. Every chance I get, I bless your name. Come on and praise the Lord with me. Sing if you love his name. Come on and lift your voice with me. He's worthy of all our praise. Come on and bring your offering. Sing if you've known his grace. Come on and lift up your voice with me. He's worthy of all our praise. He's worthy of all our praise. He's worthy of all our praise. Oh, he is worthy. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name. Praise your name. Praise your name. Hitoro propa papara. Bless God in the sanctuary. Bless God in the fields of plenty. Bless God in the darkest valley. Every chance I get, I bless your name. Bless God when my hands are empty. Bless God with the praise that costs me. Bless God when nobody's watching. Every chance I get, I bless your name. Bless God when the weapon is forming. Bless God when the walls are falling. Bless God, cause he goes before me. Every chance I get, I bless your name. Bless God, for he holds the victory. Bless God, for he's always with me. Bless God, for he's always worthy. Every chance I get, I bless your name. Every chance I get, I bless your name. Every chance. Every chance I get, I bless your name. Oh, we bless your name. We bless your name. We bless you. You are worthy, Lord. You are worthy, Lord. Oh, you are the worthy God. We bless you. We bless your name. Oh, Rama, Mama, Maharata. Oh, we bless your name. We bless your name. Oh, bless your name, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
you, Lord. We bless your name. Ah, you are always worthy, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thousand generations falling down in worship to sing the song of ages to the Lamb. And all who've gone before us and all who will believe will sing the song of ages to the Lamb. Your name is the highest, your name is the greatest, your name stands above them all thrones and dominions, all powers and positions, your name stands above them all, and the angels cry, holy. All creation cries, holy, you are lifted high, holy, holy forever. If you've been forgiven, and if you've been redeemed, sing the song forever to the Lamb. If you walk in freedom, and if you bear His name, sing the song forever to the Lamb. We'll sing the song forever and amen, and the angels cry, holy. All creation cries, holy, you are lifted high, holy, holy forever. Hear your people sing, holy, to the King of Kings, holy. Will always be holy, holy forever. Your name is the highest, your name is the greatest, your name stands above them all thrones and dominions, all powers and positions, your name stands above them all. Your name is the highest, your name is the greatest, your name stands above them all thrones and dominions, all powers and positions, your name stands above them all, and the angels cry, holy, all creation cries, holy, you are lifted high, holy, holy forever. Hear your people sing, holy, to the King of Kings, holy, you will always be holy, holy forever. And the angels cry, and the angels cry, holy, all creation cries. Christ. Holy, you are lifted high. Holy, holy forever. You will always be. You will always be. Holy, holy forever. Oh, your name is the highest. Your name is the greatest. Oh, we lift up the name of Jesus. Oh, Rabaharama. Oh, we lift up your name today, God. We lift your name on high, great and mighty God. Oh, Ramabasite She. Praise your name, Lord. Ariandorai. Father, today we declare that your name is the highest. Your name is the greatest. Your name stands above every other name, every throne, every dominion, every power, Father, in the world. Everything that would magnify itself and say that it is great is nothing before you, Father. Oh, we give you the glory today. We give you the glory, Father, and we say to every Goliath that would magnify itself against you that you are the King of Kings. You are the Lord of Lords. Father, we trust you. We trust you for every difficulty that we walk in, for every challenge, for everything that comes our way. Oh, that you are great and mighty. Father, thank you for victory over every giant. Victory over every giant, Lord. Oh, God, even the ones that look at us and taunt us. Oh, that would even laugh in our face and say, you cannot stand, yet in the name of Jesus, every giant must fall. Father, we thank you for it. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. You may be seated. Thank you, Father. Oh, glory to your name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I want you to think today about a giant in your life. And if you can't, and if you don't have any giants in your life, God will forgive you for lying. Think about the giants that face you, because we all face them. And that giant that faced David, I saw it in my spirit this morning, he laughed in the face of God and said, come here, I will feed your flesh to the birds of the air. But David, the man after God's own heart, said, no, you have defied the living God. And so today, from your heart, every giant that stands in your path, that taunts and makes your life difficult, today, just speak the name of Jesus against that, because every giant must yield at the name of Jesus. Father, today we just we proclaim your victory. Father, even if our circumstances don't change, our heart can be at peace because we know that the ultimate victory is yours. And we give you glory and thanks and praise for it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just had that sense in my spirit today that there's some people really facing some giants. And you know, the giants can really make you depressed. They can really get under your skin. And the problem with the giants is that they taunt you, but they don't stop. But we can combat them. with the mighty name of Jesus. And if you're fighting a giant today, you just let that giant know who your God is and that he is greater. Are there testimonies today? Anybody have something? Yeah. What has God done? Well, okay, here comes Kevin.
Yeah, I just wanted to say I'm very blessed. But Roxanne's birthday's tomorrow, so I just wanted to tell her I love her and I hope she enjoys her birthday. Thank you.
Man, I am always blessed. Ever since you guys started to come to the church, faithful every Sunday, and they are always up here sharing some kind of testimony. I appreciate your faithfulness and your joy. Even when the things have been difficult, you've found ways to praise God, and I hear that in you often. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Roxanne. Happy birthday to you. But we're not asking you how old you are. You're not supposed to say.
I have a praise. My dad has been fighting with his sugar and his blood pressure for months now. It's been close to 200. His blood pressure has. His blood pressure is now down to normal, and they're getting his sugar medicine strained out. He's having to adjust his insulin shots because now he's having problems with it dropping. So I just give God the glory that he's brought his blood pressure down and his sugar, and now he just needs to regulate his shots. Thank you.
Amen. 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 Anybody else have something that you'd like to share? Going once, going twice. What has God been up to? Well, I know we have somebody here that has something to share, and that would be our dear friend Shay Reagan, who is just back from Rahemahom. Shay, come on up and share. I'm talking on your mic. And Cadence. Yeah.
Thank you so much. So some faces here are familiar. Some are new to me. My name is Shay. My family and I live here in Wellsville. Up until January 1st, I was working here in the church office and then took a job working for Rahemahom. And so I think because there are some newer faces, it might be good to give a little background into the home. I thought to myself as I was sitting there, I think that's the first picture I put up there, and I know Adam's going to play it, and then I'm going to tell this like serious story while kids are sticking their tongues out at you. First, I send gratitude on behalf of Irv and Ruth Schwant. They told me, which I probably should have known this, but that what was Wellsville Full Gospel, once upon a time, I think it was Daystar at the time, in 1976 started supporting them as missionaries. So they have not forgotten the fact that there is a long history with this body in supporting the ministry that God has done through them. Irv is from the U.S., Ruth, she's British, but she grew up in the Congo, and they met in Kenya, got married, raised their children there, and were just living lives as missionaries, doing whatever the next thing that God put in front of them. Sometimes it was Bible college, sometimes it was, I think, a radio show at one point in time. You know, they had all of these ministries, and in the late 90s, in response to the HIV/AIDS crisis, the government had found ways to create institutions for the babies who were orphaned or abandoned by the crisis. But they were only equipped to care for those children up to about age 2, and so many of these children had nowhere to go. And Irv and Ruth started to say, there's this child that we're passing, and we can't not feed and clothe and care for this child, whatever it might mean. There were many children along the way that have been buried and grieved, and many that have rich and amazing lives, and it now is Rahemahom, you know, 25-plus years later. And so in January, I took the role in the U.S. office, which is a nonprofit, a nonprofit reached to help fund the ministry. So now I'm working on behalf of that organization, and one of our goals was to get me in the first few months in the job to go over there within context of my job. And so I had like the coolest ever take your children to work with you adventure. Yeah, and my husband went as well. We were gone for 2 weeks. This is Cadence. She's my daughter. She's 9. And my son is almost 12, and my husband is a lot older. And so we went for 2 weeks and spent some time in Nairobi. There are actually two locations to Rehema Home. I was there 2 years ago and spent time in the more rural location. This time we were exclusively in Nairobi. And I had some time with Irv and Ruth and the kids. I had a goal to get to know every single one of them by name. There's a ton of young adults around as well, because if you take kids who were in need of care 25 years ago, they of course are all grown up and living their lives, and some still very dependent on Irv and Ruth as parents. And so I know them all by name. I think Cadence knows most by name, right? Had an amazing time with Irv and Ruth. But I specifically reached out to Pastor Dave because there's long history with this church, and recently there was a request put out, and so I wanted to kind of follow up and say thank you. So I think we'll start with these pictures. Just one of each of my children. This was one of the requests was to bring some candy, some American candy. And so after Jolly Rancher Day, that's Shelley on the left, Jennifer in the center, and of course Cadence on the right, and they all were very excited to see what color their tongue turned from the candy. You can go ahead and go to the next one. If you guys haven't interacted with Harrison in the last 6 months, you might not know that he's kind of a nut right now for card tricks and sleight of hand magic, like obsessed. And so this was the first day there. He had a deck of cards, and he was showing all the kids a trick. And I think a few of them, Cadence, did they learn? Did some of them choose to learn a few tricks? Only Christine, yes, I don't know where she is in that picture. I think that's Frida in the yellow. Oh, there she is on the left, black pants, white T-shirt. Yeah, she was pretty fascinated. Christine is 13, and so Harrison passed off his deck of cards and taught her a few tricks. So the kids had a great time. Sometimes you go on trips like these, and the goal is to do a project, and there are projects to do. They've got a leaky roof in their laundry room or laundry outbuilding, and there's plenty to do, but that really wasn't the point of our trip, and there's only so much that a working adult, one man and two kids, can do anyway. So I guess the point for my children was just to connect and see other children who are living rich and meaningful lives and have obstacles, right? Okay, we can go to the next one, Adam. So the request a few weeks ago, or maybe even a few months ago now, Pastor Dave, he was so kind to let me call him and say, I'm wondering if I can stretch my fundraising wings, right? The beauty of this job is that I get to talk to a lot of people, and the intimidating part of this job is that I get to talk to a lot of people, and I'm supposed to be asking them for money in the most sincere way, where Rehema is a family and the donors are just as much family, but sometimes I'm used to asking for like small amounts. But I called Pastor Dave and I said, hey, I have a goal to ask, and I'm only two people in, right? Or two successful wins in. I have a goal of asking for at least 10 people for $5,000, and specifically, there's a lot of donors and a lot of consistent donations, but one of the challenges, and I'm sharing this sort of transparently with you, this is not if you're still putting it online, that's fine. But this isn't like the public image that we're putting out there, is that like I stepped into this job and it's been really hard. And we learned that Rehema U.S. office was carrying some debt that was a little unknown. And then when we looked into that debt, it was groceries. It was groceries in Kenya. The aftermath of COVID, the prices increased everywhere. You're feeling it at the grocery store, and they're feeding 100 plus mouths, and so they of course feel it at the grocery store. And so we kind of have had a goal that while regular operations are happening, we're trying to pay off yesterday's meals while we're simultaneously funding tomorrow's meals. And so I asked Pastor Dave if the church could help in some way. And Jeannie, I should have asked you. I tried to do a quick glance at my deposits this morning. I think around 3,600. Does that sound right? 3,600 was given through this congregation, which is tremendous. So I wanted a very deliberate thank you for helping to meet the very real need. And so I thought specifically today, only have a few minutes left, but I wanted to share with you, this is just a picture from one of the spots on the property. Very common to see a group of the staff sitting here and then the kids helping as well. You can see that great big pot. It's pretty much what every meal gets prepared in. And even the pots on the ground, I think those were like collards that they were taking off the, you know, the woody stems. You can go ahead and go to the next one, Adam. And then this is mealtime. This is all of the kids from littlest to biggest kind of tucked in this room. Before the meal, some of the kids have chores to unstack all of the chairs and put them around and get everything ready, and then everybody eats. All of the kids eat at noon. This is lunchtime, and then I think it's 5 o'clock dinner time, and all of the staff and any adults who still live on the property will eat at 1. And so it's wonderful. It's not even really chaos. I mean, this is a well-oiled machine, but they've been at it for 25 years, right, trying to figure out how to, like, feed kids and do it well and do it steadily. And you can go ahead and go to the next one, Adam. And then this is between meals, all cleaned out, gets mopped after every meal, and tucked back in the corner. I don't know if you can see him on the right. There's a young man. His name is Justin. He is a young man who is really excelling at school and has been granted enrollment in, like, a privileged school with a higher level of education. So he's very studious and headphones on and studies all the time. He's very, very ambitious. You can go ahead and go to the next one, Adam. But most of the time, the kids are playing, right? For a lot of organizations similar to Rehem Home, if you look online, it doesn't take very long to see, like, the crying faces and the empty plates and the highlighting the struggle, right? And one of the biggest goals of Rehem Home is to be the antithesis of that message, right? These kids, even when it's challenging, they are playing and laughing and swinging on swings. You can go ahead and go to the next one, Adam. There's this beautiful tree with benches that many years ago were built, and the kids often are there in the shade playing cards, playing games. Sometimes it's some games with fallen leaves. I don't even understand, but they have a game down. You can go ahead and go to the next one. This was a day that we brought some bracelet kits, and they were making bracelets, young and older kids. You can go ahead and go to the next one again, Adam. Playing on the swing set, joyful, loving life, loving each other like 95% of the time, but they're all siblings. So, you know, you can go ahead and go to the next one again, Adam. And then this, I just wanted to tell you one little story to kind of highlight start to finish, right? One of in the center there, her name is Karen Wozniak. She lives in Rochester, went on the trip with us. She's a board member of mine. George is the young man in the center on the phone. He's actually my employee. I have one employee, one staff. He lives in Nairobi. He's a child from the home who is now an adult and helps run our social media, things like that. And then on the far right, that is Joseph. You can go ahead and go to the next one, Adam. So this is Joseph. Joseph was 14 months old, and he quite literally was found on a garbage heap. Who knows the circumstances? We can make whatever judgments about parents. His mother could have walked away and passed away an hour later. I don't know the circumstances. He doesn't. But he was found, and he was brought into Rehem Home, right? He was cared for. I believe that those tears on the left aren't tears of hunger, but are like somebody took my toy and now my tears have dried on my face, you know? Because there was a lot of those tears, right? I didn't hear too many tears because the kids are like depraved, but lots of, he took my toy, she took my spot on the bench, right? There's plenty of that. And so Joseph was among the first children who came into the home. He was among the first children who actually lived on the property that they're at now. And now he is a fantastic young man. He is just the coolest guy. He works for the home. He's their driver, so kids have to go places, even school, and so they have two vehicles. Hopefully at least one of them works at any given time. And it's his job. He works full-time for Irv and Ruth. So he relies on them for his income, but he doesn't rely on them in other, you know, financial capacities. And he's also just so cool. He has dreams of becoming like a tour guide. Tourism is just skyrocketing in Kenya, so it's a pretty good time to kind of get in on the market. His English is spectacular, and he's got the sweetest demeanor, and so he'd really love to give people tours of Nairobi. And I highlight his story because I suspect there were days that he also, meals were a little bit more sparse. You know, there were also days where he probably felt whatever stress Irv and Ruth were carrying in caring for the kids and making sure that that they had what they needed. And yet, he is this incredible young man, just the coolest kid to spend time with. And I think it's important to remember that, like, the story that Rahema is telling is over a lifetime, right? And so I just wanted to thank this church, thank this body for, I don't know how many of you were part of the church in 1976. I dare not speculate, but you are carrying a legacy with you that continues with you and is part of the story that's happening at Rahema, and I'm so thankful. You can go ahead and go to the next one, Adam. And kids can just play, can have joy and have rich, meaningful lives. And it is with that lens that I just would like to also share, like, the burden that's on my heart. This is not the financial burden. It is the fact that when I was there, there were kids Harrison's age, who when I would sit down and talk to them, several of them at some point would say, "How's the money going in the U.S.?" And I thought that was a very odd question. Like, you're 12. What are you asking me? You know, like, my kids don't ask me that many questions about our personal finances here at home, right? I usually have to make them listen to, like, the finance discussion. And so I would ask, "What do you mean?" And they said, "Well, we know that money's tight." And I would ask, "Well, how do you know that?" And they said, "Because we can't have my favorite meal anymore." Because my snack today was water. And so that's really hard. The kids are getting what they need. None of them are malnourished. Irv and Ruth are incredible human beings who are finding every way they can to faithfully do what God has asked them to do today and just not worry about tomorrow until it gets here. I have so much admiration. And yet, there are times, even though the kids are fed, they know that there is an abundance that they have tasted that they don't have right now. And so if you're willing, as part of the body, to carry in your own hearts the burden for them and the prayer when you sit down at your own meals, that God would provide in any of his abundant ways, sometimes it's through the organization, sometimes it's other ways, so that these kids can taste that abundance at times too, I would be so grateful. So thank you for listening to me. Thank you for supporting Rahema. And I'm planning on sticking around as well after the service if any of you want to ask more about the trip or about the organization, right? Yeah.
So. Okay, let's pray. You guys are going to stay up for a minute. You'll be our touch point for praying for all of these needs. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for the vision that Irv and Ruth Schwant had way back when, Lord, and how it's grown, and for the pictures that we've just seen, and the children, and the lives that are being impacted and touched. And Lord, we pray that you would pour out a financial blessing upon the ministry of the Rahema Home. God, that you would open the floodgates of heaven, Lord, as it were, and provide for those needs. Father, and I pray that as Shay works, that you would use her, Father, as a conduit of your grace, Lord, that she would be able to give this opportunity to invest in the kingdom of God to lots of people, Lord, whose hearts would be touched when they hear about the ministry there. And God, that you would bring about a great breakthrough, especially in the financial realm for the Rehema home. Lord, we know it's been a struggle at times, Father, but we thank you that you are the God who provides. And Father, we are asking for that little bit of extra abundance, Lord, for the children there. Lord, we pray that you would do that and that you would bless Shay, Father, as she continues to work. God, that you would infuse her with creative ideas. And Lord, that you would help her as she contacts people. Father, that the word of the Lord would come out of her mouth and it would penetrate people's hearts. And it would penetrate their wallet, Lord. Father, we don't want to just take people's money, but Father, we want to see your kingdom moved forward in this place. So we pray that you would continue to bless it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming and sharing. Glory to God. One of the hardest things I find as a pastor is to preach about giving, and yet giving is still so foundational to the gospel. God so loved the world that he gave. God is a giver. God's a big giver. He gave his only begotten son, and he gives us the opportunity to give too. And when we give, Jesus said, you know, when you do it for one of these, you're doing it for me. So remember that you're ministering to Jesus when you do that. So, and I'm sure that Shay will be happy to take your money to bless those kids that you saw. Glory be to God. We've been sharing about worship, and I think we're coming close to winding down kind of on what I have to share in all of this, but we'll probably share a little more next week. But I'd like to start today, if you have your Bible, Psalm 22, verse 3, and I'm not going to be really long today, but of course I say that and then maybe I will. We'll see what happens. I can't get that picture of giants out of my heart and my mind, though, so I'm going to bring it back to you again. I think that was a word from the Lord this morning in our worship time. God wants to liberate people from accusing giants. And most of the time, those giants, what do they do? They just bring accusation. Accusation, accusation. They defy the word of God. They're contrary to what God is saying. And they rail against you and they rail against God. And God, I believe that God wants to help. I hope this is for somebody here today. I don't know, maybe somebody's. But there's a giant. There are giants that have been laughing at people, taunting them, that awful taunting. And God wants to bring it down. And you know, not only Goliath died, but all his brothers died too. All of them lost their heads. Every one of those nasty giants. And when David had those 5 smooth stones in his bag, he only used one of them. And when he took down that giant, that was prophetic for the others that were going to fall too. And I want to encourage you today, God, there is grace in the name of Jesus over every giant. Psalm 22, verse 3 says, "Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel." And that word enthroned is a little troublesome to me. If you look at the King James I have to say that sometimes I find things in the King James that I think are really, really not translated very well, but I think that they hit it on this one. It says, you who inhabit the praises of Israel. That word there literally means to inhabit, to remain, to sit, to dwell. It's not just talking about enthroned, although enthroned has the aspect of lordship. But do you understand that it says that he actually inhabits, he comes and dwells within our praise? Can you fathom what that means? And in charismatic circles, you say, wow, God comes and inhabits your praises. And you're like, yeah, God inhabits our praises. And what that says to me is that we've heard that and we've almost grown accustomed to that concept to the point of becoming casual with the presence of God. You know, when we worship God from our hearts, he comes and his presence is literally in our praises. He makes his presence, his throne and his glory manifest in praise. And what an incredible privilege we have to worship our Lord Jesus and have him present with us. That's what that scripture is saying. But there's also a responsibility in that to not take the presence of God lightly. Don't ever take that precious presence of God lightly when we're in there, when we're in it. Isaiah 66, verse 2. Adam, you're on it today. All right. Says, but I will look to this one, at one who is humble and contrite in spirit and who trembles at my word. Now, I'm not saying we should be frightened of God, but there's a trembling of awe that we ought to have in his presence. And when it says who trembles at my word, that literally means who trembles at my voice when I speak, who hears and who has a holy reverence and a holy fear for the voice and the hand of God, and can I say for the presence of God. Certainly not a casual or a flippant kind of ministry. I heard a funny story. It's kind of funny and it's kind of sad at the same time. There was a church that I heard about, and it was more of a denominational church where they had a choir up in the front. But they didn't want it to be up in front of everybody, and they didn't want to have it behind the preacher. So they had a place that was lower, where the floor actually was down lower than the level of the congregation. So it was recessed. Well, the choir members discovered that they could come and they could sing their opening anthem. They could sing their praise songs or whatever they were doing. And then when the pastor got up, if they got down low enough, there was a railing, they could crawl on their hands and knees and get out and go out the service door and go down a couple of doors down to the donut shop. And the choir members were crawling out and going down, and they would get donuts, and then they would crawl back and sneak in, and they would eat these donuts while the service was going on. And this one guy decided one Sunday that, I don't know if he was a regular at the donut shop or not, but he got down. And he crawled, he got underneath the railing, and he got out, and he went down, and he got his donuts, and he got back, and the service was still going on, and he wanted to get in. So he got down low, and he had this big bag of donuts, so he just held it in his teeth. And he got down, and he was crawling through, and he heard the congregation start laughing. And he looked around, he was on the wrong side of the railing. I would say that's maybe taking the presence of God a little bit too casually. I'm going to move fairly quickly through some history with you. I've spent a lot of time in the Old Testament, and just because the Ark of the presence of God is such a picture of God's presence even today. 1 Samuel chapter 4, the Philistines, the perennial antagonists of Israel, were coming up again to fight in battle against them. And they came and they came against Israel, and Israel and the Philistines fought, and Israel lost. They lost the battle. And in verse 3, it says, when the troops returned to the camp, the elders of Israel said, why has the Lord brought defeat on us before the Philistines today? Let us bring the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord from Shiloh, so that it may go with us to save us from the hand of our enemies. So they lost, and now they're like, oh, well, maybe it's because we didn't have we need the Ark. We need this thing. And now they're looking at it almost like a holy relic. It's almost like a good luck charm. Yeah, let's take the Ark with us. If we take the Ark with us, it will be okay. And so the people sent men to Shiloh, and they brought back the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of Hosts. My notes here are really screwed up. Who sits enthroned between the cherubim, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were there with the Ark of the Covenant of God. And if you know this story, you know that Hophni and Phinehas were sons of Eli the priest, and they were corrupt. They were making a scandal out of the offerings, stealing from the offerings of the people, and committing awful immorality with women at the temple. They were pretty ungodly people. And yet, here they are carrying the Holy Ark of God. I would say they had very little respect for the presence of God. When the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord entered the camp, all the Israelites raised such a great shout that it shook the ground, and it freaked out the Philistines. They all said, wow, what is going to happen? God has come into the camp. We're going to be defeated. So they said, rise up, Philistines, and fight. And lo and behold, so the Philistines fought. 4:10. So the Philistines fought, and Israel was defeated. And each man fled to his tent. The slaughter was very great. 30,000 foot soldiers of Israel fell. The Ark of God was captured, and Eli's two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, died. Wow. So all of a sudden, what they placed their trust in, their ace in the hole, I guess I don't know that they were actually in a good place with God, but they thought they had it if they just brought that Ark. And suddenly the Ark is gone, and these two corrupt priests are gone, and the Ark is in the hands of their enemies. And if you go on to read the story, the Ark was actually in Philistine territory for 7 months, and everywhere it went, it brought them nothing but trouble. There was plague, lots of them died, they had an terrible outbreak of tumors, and they're like, get this thing out of here, so they'd send it to another town, and the same thing would happen there. They'd try to send it to another town, and they'd say, no, we don't want it, you keep it yourself, get it out of here. Because the hand of God, the presence of God that brought blessing to Israel, brought torment to their enemies. So finally, in 1 Samuel 7, the Ark lands in Kiriath Jearim. This is 1 Samuel 7, 1. Then the men of Kiriath Jearim came for the Ark of the Lord and took it into Abinadab's house on the hill. And they consecrated his son Eleazar to guard the Ark of the Lord. And from that day, a long time passed, 20 years in all, that the Ark remained at Kiriath Jearim. So the Ark was not even in a tabernacle or a temple or anything. It was just there in it with Abinadab's house. And then it stayed there. It said it stayed there for 20 years, but the reality is that it didn't move again until 2 Samuel chapter 6, when David finally decides to make the presence of God, the Ark of God that we talked about last week, he pitched a tent and he brought the Ark of God into Jerusalem so that the presence of God would once again be central to their worship. And so it stayed there. It was in the house of Amminadab about 70 years. It was there a long time. And when it lands in there, David decides to bring it up after that 70 years. So 2 Samuel 6, David goes to get the ark and brings it up with great rejoicing, but they put it, instead of having the priest carry it, they put it on a new cart and they transported it. No, that's not how God said it was supposed to be transported. It wasn't supposed to happen that way. It was not how God prescribed it to be traveled with. It was supposed to be carried on the shoulders of the priest through the poles that were on there. They did it wrong, and what happens? Now we're in 2 Samuel 6, verse 6. When they came to the threshing floor of Nacon, Uzzah reached out and took hold of the Ark of God because the oxen had stumbled. Why would he do that? Why would he reach out and take hold of the Ark of God? He's a priest. What is he thinking? Well, Uzzah was Abinadab's son. He grew up with the Ark. The Ark was in his house. It was always around. It was beautiful, but maybe he got used to it. It was always there. Oh, yeah, the Ark of God's presence. Yeah. Yeah, we had this in our house. Yeah, I grew up with it. It's been there for 35, 40, 50, 60 years. Yeah, sure. Yeah, I know. So he got very casually accustomed to the Ark, and he wanted to save it from falling down. What he should have done was let the thing fall in the dirt. Not that we want to see the ark fall in the dirt, but it's not the mud and the dirt that would desecrate the ark, but it was the casual touch of the hand of a person. Sticking their hands on that. Uh-oh. And God struck him dead instantly. He immediately died right there before the presence of God. The anger of the Lord burned against Uzzah, and God struck him down on the spot for his irreverence, and he died there before the ark of God. I'm not suggesting that if we're irreverent that God's going to suddenly strike us dead. All of a sudden I'm really loud, and I don't know why. No, I turned it off. Somehow I have just grown in my projection. We'll try that. So, and do I know where I am? Okay, so I think Uzzah had grown familiar with that which was utterly sacred. And, you know, we've been washed by the blood of Jesus and redeemed by his sacrifice and have been given the way of fellowship with God, but I think it's important that we don't ever become casual or light about the presence of God. He is still the holy God who is supremely holy and worthy of our greatest reverence. Remember that scripture, Isaiah 66, 2, who trembles at my word. And not that we're scared to come into his presence, but that we have that incredible reverence. And when we come together at church, I want to encourage you to remember who we're coming to meet with. We're coming to meet with God. And when we get to worship him, his presence is going to come down. And so when it's time for us to begin to worship, I want to encourage you, remember the one that you've come to meet with. Remember who it is. I've been in churches where I've looked around and I've seen people in the middle of worship on their phones. Boop, 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 boop. And thinking, how can you do that? having casual conversations when we're in the middle of worship, it just shouldn't be. remember that He comes, He inhabits our praise, and it's His presence here. I know one very prominent pastor, his name escapes me now. He had a dream. He had this dream that as he was preaching, as they were worshiping and singing, and then as he preached, there was a very distinguished gentleman who would always be in the same spot. And then at the end of the service, he would always try to go and greet this man, and the man always was gone. He could never get to him. And Sunday after Sunday, and this was a dream that he had, Sunday after Sunday, this man was there, but he could never get to him to greet him. And one day he asked in his dream, he asked people, who is this man? I can't seem to reach him. And they said, oh, that's Jesus. He comes every service. He comes every time we're worshiping. And then the man woke up and he realized that's what's really happening. When we come together, Jesus is here. It's like he's sitting right there. Oh, God, help us. Help us to take so seriously what's happening. True worship is what God dwells in. And that's wherein the Holy Spirit comes and will manifest his presence. 2 Chronicles 5, 11 through 14. Now all the priests who were present, this is at the dedication of the temple when Solomon finally finishes building this incredible temple that David had laid up for, this magnificent place. Now all the priests who were present had consecrated themselves regardless of their divisions, and when the priests came out of the holy place, all the Levitical singers, Asaph, Heman, and Jeduthun, and their sons and relatives stood on the east side of the altar dressed in fine linen and playing cymbals, harps, and lyres, accompanied by 120 priests sounding trumpets. And the trumpeters and the singers joined together to praise and thank the Lord with one voice. They lifted up their voices, accompanied by trumpets, cymbals, and musical instruments. If you think that I get loud sometimes. Yikes. There's a lot of trumpets blowing there. They say, in praise to the Lord, for He is good, His loving devotion endures forever. And the temple, the house of the Lord, was filled with a cloud, so that the priests could not stand there to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of God. All of a sudden, the presence of God, wham, came. Before that worship began, it was just a building. When the worship began, when the instruments began, when the singers began worshiping Him, then He came in and He inhabited their praises and that incredible manifestation of the presence of God. Was it like that every day? Probably not, no. Probably the next day, they didn't have that incredible manifestation. But was it still there? Was it still real? Was the presence of God still there in the same way? Maybe it wasn't physically manifested, but the presence of God was still there. We might not physically be able to see it. Oh, we're feelers. We love to be able to feel the presence of God. We like to be able to see things. We like to all of that. But whether we feel it or not does not negate the truth that His presence is here, and that the Holy Spirit wants to manifest and move. Wow. Glory to God. Another scripture, 2 Kings 3, 14 and 15. This is at a time where Jehoram, the son of Ahab, the wicked king of Israel, now Jehoram is over Israel, and he's evil. He's worshiping all the wrong things. But Jehoshaphat was a good king in Judah, and he was worshiping God. And they were coming into a battle, and the king of Israel had asked the king of Judah to come and help him. And Jehoshaphat, being a man of God, said, well, let's inquire of the Lord. So they found Elisha, And in 2 Kings 3:14 and 15, then Elisha said, "As surely as the Lord of hosts live before whom I stand, were it not for my regard for the presence of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, I would not look at you, Jehoram, or acknowledge you, but now bring me a harpist." Why would he need a harpist? "And while the harpist played, the hand of the Lord came upon Elisha." That worship, that music brings the hand of the Lord, brings the presence down, and the Spirit of God manifested out of Elisha, and the Lord gave him a word of knowledge, telling him that he saw the whole land full of ditches that were going to be filled with water because they didn't have any water to drink. And then Elisha said, "Not only will there be enough water to drink, but you will utterly destroy you defeat these enemies here." But it's interesting that the presence of God came and the revelation came when the praise began. He called him, and the harpist began to play, and there it was. That's why during our times of corporate worship, we will take time and we will wait, because during our worship time, that's when the Spirit of God will get stirred up inside of people. And God may speak a prophetic word to you to share with the body. And it's very important that you're open to do that. 1 Corinthians 12:7. I picked an interesting version of this. I think it distills it very well. A spiritual gift is given to who? To each of us, so that we can help each other. Some of it says for the some of your translations say for the common good or for the good of all. It goes into speaking specifically about the 9 supernatural gifts of the Holy Spirit. God wants to give you a gift and manifest the Spirit of God out of you as you begin to worship and praise. Why is that a difficulty for us? I'll tell you why. Proverbs 29:25. "The fear of man is a snare." That word snare is really interesting. The word snare, it's mokosh. It actually comes from the Greek yakosh. Yakosh literally means a noose for catching animals. And that fear of man, it'll catch you right around the neck just like a noose. When that fear of man hits you, you can't speak. You can't let it out. It paralyzes your voice. How many of you have felt that fear of man strike you when you wanted to preach the gospel to somebody? The fear of man will bring a snare. Defeat that fear. Face it. It's a Goliath. It's a lie. Be willing to speak out what God gives you. There was a very sense. My wife, she probably is feeling a little self-conscious now because she spoke that out, and there wasn't, and nothing came forth. But I'm convinced there was a word of the Lord that wanted to come out this morning. I heard it too. I don't say this so that now you'll go home and feel terrible if God was speaking something to you and you didn't do anything with it. But I want to encourage you, be bold. Take the step. Speak out. And you know, what if you don't do it perfectly? Where are you? You were in church with people who love you. Kick that fear and believe God. The presence of God brings the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. And it's a wonderful and incredible thing. And it's not always limited to just the worship time. It doesn't have to be limited to that worship time. But that's why we take that time. If some of you are wondering, why are we just standing here? We're not standing. We're expecting. We're waiting. God, what do you want to say? Glory to God. Oh, glory to God. Oh. God knows the desire of your heart. You know, He does. He knows. You've been praying the desire of your heart to the Lord for a while. When I share these things, I haven't got the faintest idea what I'm talking about. I'm just saying what the Lord gives me. You've been praying. You've had the desire of your heart's been working in there. And the Lord wants to say to you today, delight yourself in Him and He will give you the desire of your heart. Forget about the desire now and delight yourself in Him. Worship Him. Spend time and He is going to give you the desire of your heart. It's going to come. But just change your focus. Change your focus. Don't be distracted by what you're seeking. Seek Him. He knows the desire of your heart and He delights to give it to you. I couldn't go on. The Lord just kept saying that to me, and I was just like, no, God, I have more to say here. All right, we're gonna wrap this up. The presence of God also brings deliverance. Deliverance. Psalm 68:1. The best translation I found. God arises, His enemies are scattered. You know, sometimes it says, let God arise and let His enemies be scattered, like we're hoping it's going to happen. No, God arises, the enemies get scattered. That's it. God arises, the enemies are scattered. 1 Samuel, boy, I don't want to take time to read all of this. We've got to close. But in 1 Samuel 16, Saul is rejected. David's going to become king. But the Holy Spirit leaves Saul, and a menacing, terrible, troubling spirit suddenly is upon Saul, and he's being tormented. And they said, oh, well, go find someone who can play beautiful music and worship, and you'll feel better. And they go and get David. And David begins to play his harp, and what happens? The evil, tormenting spirit lifts. When you're in a battle, begin to praise the Lord. He can give you victory in that. 2 Chronicles 20, Jehoshaphat is got to go to war, and the Ammonites and the Moabites are coming against him with an army where the odds are totally against him. And the prophet Jehaziel gets up and prophesies that there will be victory without a battle. And so what does Jehoshaphat do? He defies all the conventional ideas. Instead of sending his army out against this other army that's coming with spears, he puts the musicians out. I am so glad I wasn't there. Can you imagine being a musician and marching out with your instruments and these guys are coming at you with spears? I mean, it's counterintuitive to everything, and yet they had heard the word of the Lord, and Jehoshaphat said, no, we're just going to praise God. And then it says that the Lord sent ambushments against them, and they turned on each other. The enemy turned on each other, and they killed each other. Verse 22, it says, the moment they began their shouts and praises, the Lord sent ambushments against the men of Ammon and Moab, and they were defeated. Isaiah 30, 31 and 32, it says, the voice of the Lord will shatter Assyria. The king of Assyria is often in Scripture a picture or a type of our spiritual adversaries, our enemy, the devil, and his angels. It says, the voice of the Lord will shatter Assyria. With his rod he will strike them down. But listen to how. Every stroke the Lord lays on them with his punishing club will be to the music of timbrels and harps as he fights them in battle with the blows of his arm. What is the victory coming with? The praises of his people. The praises of his people. Ah, glory to God. This is just the most awkward thing for me. I'm sorry, but I have to obey God. You guys, I had no idea that you would be here today, but I'm hearing the Lord say there's a giant that you've been railing against you guys. I hear it. There's a giant there, and God is going to slay the giant. He's going to slay that giant. I hear it. And Father, in Jesus' name, I just speak that over this family. Death to that awful, taunting giant that has said nothing is ever going to change. Everything is lost, because God can change everything, and He can change every heart. Jesus. Whoo, I hope that speaks to you. I don't have the faintest idea. Yes.
Every morning, Jeff and I pray for our family. And one morning, the Holy Spirit said, "You know, I really do hear your prayer."
He really does. He really does. Oh, glory to God. Glory, glory, glory to God. Oh, we're gonna wrap up. Remember in Acts 16. The reward that Paul gets for casting a demon spirit out of a girl. What does he get? He gets dragged off and beaten and thrown into prison. And what does he and Silas do? They sit in that prison and they begin to worship God. They pray and they're singing, and it says all the other prisoners were listening. And at midnight, the ground shakes and their chains fall off. But it wasn't just their chains. Everybody's chains fell off. Woo! All of them fell off, and that's such a wonderful spiritual picture of deliverance that comes as we worship. As we worship God, as we believe Him, it's going to bring deliverance. And it's going to bring deliverance for the people you're praying for. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Father, we thank You that Your wonderful presence brings us victory. That's why Your word says to let the word of Christ dwell in us richly in all wisdom, speaking and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in our heart to You, Father, because there is victory when we make You the center and when we worship You. Oh, Father, teach us. Teach us, Father, to worship in spirit and in truth. Ho rababakite. Thank You, Father. Lord, we give You thanks and praise today. You are the great and mighty God. Teach us. Teach us, Father, what it means to worship You and to make Your presence the central hallmark of our walk. Father, we thank You for it. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Let's sing something in closing. And if you want prayer at the end, someone will be there to pray with you. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And all will see how great is our God. Me, how great is our God, and all will see how great is our God. Name above all names, worthy of all praise. Heart will sing, how great is our God. Oh, Father, You are great. We worship You today, Lord.
Help us to be worshipers as we go from here, Lord. Worship in our homes. Worship at our jobs. Lifting up the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for your grace and your help in Jesus' name. If you're here and you want prayer, someone will be here to pray for you. Otherwise, enjoy some coffee. See if you can stay for a few minutes. And be sure to greet Shay. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.